We thank you for giving us the remaining of faith for this morning. We'll be in Proverbs 17. If everybody in the audience could stand. We'll be one verse, Proverbs 17, and verse 6. It says, children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their father.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, give me thank you this day to be gathering your house with me. Again, some first and foremost to honor you, Heavenly Father, that today we went on our Father's also, Lord, that you would bless your word and to remind us of the importance and immense duty of being godly fathers to our children and so God. Bless your word this morning. For we ask all this in your most holy and blessed name. Amen. So this morning, you may be speaking to part. So this morning, we'll be addressing fathers. And as we look at God's word, again, I do remind you that we do gather for one of God, first and foremost, that in the second law under the Ten Commandments, we are told that we are to honor our fathers and mothers. So this morning, we want to honor our fathers and to speak to them and remind them of their God-given duty as fathers. So that we'll speak this morning on the subject of being responsible, godly fathers. And no doubt, it's a joy to be a father, a blessing, but it comes with an immense and fearful responsibility to be a father. And anybody can be a biological father in that sense, but it takes a special person to be a daddy. Okay? And the role of fatherhood is no doubt immersed in the Bible. There's much instruction to fathers, their duty, and how to accomplish their duty in being father. And in order to undertake this high calling of God, that is to seek to fulfill this calling of being a godly father, begin first with the father being a godly father, that is being a Christian, being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it takes the grace of God and the effort of salvation to be a godly father. If you're a father this morning and you happen to be outside Christ, the best thing you can do this morning is to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, to be born again and become a God-fearing father, and that you be a new father to your children. And so, what a blessing for that also. Now, the reason I share the importance of being a responsible, godly father is because this is God's commandment to all fathers. Whether safe or not, we are responsible for our children before God. Every father will one day give an answer to God as the responsibility as father. Okay? You'll come before God and you'll have to give an account, and therefore the importance of being a godly father. Okay? And so may God teach us something in His Word again this morning to be that consistent father. I usually have an alliterated sermon in my messages, but this morning I'm going to do something different. I'm going to do an acrostic sermon. And so I'm going to take the word father and use it as an acrostic in my application. F for faithful, A for monitor, T for teacher, H for hard worker, E for entreat, and R for responsible. And so the first letter in the word father is F, that is faithful. And to be a godly father, you must be a faithful father, not a compromising father, not a father who gives up too easily, but being a consistent, faithful father. Now, I'm not speaking about being a perfect father, because there is no perfect father except God the Father in heaven. So there is no perfect father here on earth, okay? I mean, fathers are not flawless, and fathers are not without faults. I mean, that it takes grace to be a father who seeks to do that which is right in the eyes of God. And again, before a father can be a faithful father and faithful father to children, there's a sense that they must also be faithful to God first. And so before a father can be faithful to his children, they must be faithful to God first in their walk. To be faithful means to have a conviction. Like, remember Joshua, what he proclaimed here in Joshua 24:15, he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I mean, that's conviction. I mean, that wasn't straddling the fence or I don't know. No, he said, as for me and my house, we will.
Right. I love that condition. We will serve the Lord. And so faithful is the man that fears God and delights greatly in the Word of God. You know, in Psalm 112, I read it to you. In Psalm 112, verse 1, it says, "Praise the Lord, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord and delighteth greatly in His commandments." And so here are two simple, important components and features of being a faithful father. A faithful father is one who fears the Lord. And then secondly, a faithful father is one who delights in the Word of God. And therefore, a faithful father is one that fears the Lord and keeps His commandments. And this type of conviction is no doubt cemented in faith, trust, and hope in God. And thinking about this, I can't help but think also of Psalms chapter 1. Remember there in Psalms 1, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Blessed is the man that what? That walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, that will not stand in the way of sinners, and will not sit in the seat of the scornful." No, no, no. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in this law does he meditate day and night. And so again, this is a father with godly conviction. And fathers, in order for you to be faithful, you must have a godly conviction in fearing God and keeping His word. And as a matter of fact, this is the basic truth that is demanded of all people, men and women. For Ecclesiastes 12:13, it says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man." But how much more to fathers who profess to be followers of Christ, to be faithful fathers and having godly conviction by fearing God and keeping His commandments. Therefore, the father that fears God and delights in God's word is a faithful father. You know, remind me of a very godly man and faithful father in the Bible. Remember Abraham? I'll read it to you. In Nehemiah 9, as Nehemiah is recounting the history of Israel, he makes a beautiful statement about Abraham. It says, Nehemiah talking to people about the Lord says, "Thou art the Lord that did choose Abraham and brought him forth out of the land of the Chaldees and gave him the name Abraham and found his heart faithful before thee." What a blessing. This is not something Abraham wrote. This was written about Abraham that he was a faithful man. Turn me to the first book in the Bible, the book of Genesis, where we see the story of the life of Abraham in Genesis 18. There's much to read about Abraham, but we'll just read two verses. In Genesis 18 and verses 18 and 19, it says, "Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." And notice the next word, this is God speaking, says, "For I know him, and he will command his children and his household after him, that they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice, judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of him." Again, verse 19 describes the responsibilities of Abraham in being a faithful father. "For I know that he will command his children and his household after him," that what? "That they shall keep the way of the Lord." The word command here, of course, means to charge the children, to commission their children. And so, instruction in the way of God. In other words, not only was Abraham faithful to God, but he was faithful to his children. And he made sure that his children would hear and know something about the living and true God. As he was dedicated to the things of God, but he made sure that he would convey this to his children. Again, what a blessing and immense responsibility in seeking to be a faithful father. Okay? Because again, a faithful father is what? Is one who fears God and keeps His commandments. And this again takes dedication, it takes conviction, it takes that conviction that is cemented in a holy commitment established in the truth of God. And so, what a blessing in that. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ, He also makes a statement regarding you know, those who follow him to keep his word. He says in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know how many people I hear that say, I love God, I love Jesus, but do you keep the commandments of God?
Right.
That's the point. And we can perhaps say that to be light in God is to love and to keep his commandments. You know, in Psalm 119, that's the longest chapter in the Bible, it had 176 verses. And I'll never forget, when I first started pastoring here in 1989, for Sunday school, we did Psalm 119. It took me 3 years to go through one chapter, Psalm 119. That it speaks often about delighting in God's commandment. For example, Psalm 119:16, I will delight myself in thy statute. I will not forget thy word. Verse 24, Psalm 119, thy testimony also are my delight and my counselor. Verse 35, many to go in the path of the commandments, for therein I delight. Psalm 119:47, and I will delight myself in thy commandments which I have loved. And so I believe we see the importance of being a faithful father, to be faithful to God in order to be a faithful father to your children. Again, that little phrase in Genesis 18:19, speaking of Abraham again, in commanding his family, he says, commanding his household after him. And again, this has the idea of leaving a testimony and a spiritual legacy for his children to follow him. In other words, it wasn't just saying things or teaching, but it also includes, I believe, the essence of his character and testimony, which speaks of our walk before God, both privately and publicly. We've been given the special blessing and privilege of molding our children in the ways of God. Another godly man was Moses. We know a lot about Moses, but in Hebrews 3:5, I love what it says there. I'll read it to you. It says, and Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which should be spoken after. I mean, what a testimony regarding Moses, that he was faithful in all his house, a servant for a testimony, okay, of those things to be spoken afterward. Now, when he says that he was faithful to I think first and foremost speaks that he was faithful first to the house of God. But I believe also it speaks that he was faithful to his own house. I remind me when he was rehearsing the law, because we know the law was given in Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments, but he did it again in Deuteronomy 5. Deuteronomy is the fifth book in the Bible, and the word Deuteronomy means given as the law a second time. The word Deuter in the Hebrew means two, and Nomos means law. Deuteronomy. So anyway, I don't get that. But the book of Deuteronomy was written that the law was given again the second time by Moses. And as he was doing this, in Deuteronomy 5, verse 29, Moses says, oh, that there was such a heart in them, or I say God, he wrote what God told him to write. God is saying, oh, that there was such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep my commandments, that it might be well with them and their children forever. And so, to be a faithful father, you must take the responsibility before God seriously. Because we are responsible for raising our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, which we'll see that in a minute. But a spiritual faithful father, we see this important responsibility before God and the need of having a close walk with God in order to be a faithful father to his children that God has given him. And I believe this is part of what it means to be a faithful father, because it begins, first of all, again, with our relationship with God, and then with our children and being faithful with them in showing them the Word of God. But again, not only a faithful father, but then the second letter of the word father, A, stands for admonisher. Okay? Come with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. In Ephesians 6 and verse 4, it says, and ye fathers, talking to fathers, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Again, the letter A in Father stands for admonition. Okay? As fathers are to be godly admonishers to their children, as we're committed to bring up our children, to raise up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Interesting that here in Ephesians 6, 4, the Apostle Paul uses a twofold instruction to fathers. Why? Because fathers are the head of the home. And this instruction by the Apostle Paul is first in the negative and then in the positive. Okay? The first thing Paul warns us to do as father is not to provoke your children to wrath. You know, in the book of Colossians, Paul also wrote it but with a little more expression. Because in Colossians 2:21 it says, Father, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And so fathers, I mean, just because a father is the head of the home, it doesn't give a father to rule his home like a dictator, like Hitler. No, but to rule your home, your house, in grace, mercy, and love. And the importance of we instruct our children to be very careful and reasonable that how we instruct them so our children won't be discouraged or resentful, which, of course, leads to disobedience. This doesn't excuse the disobedience of children, but the point is, Father, you shouldn't act to it. Now, it is easier for a child to obey the parents if they do it in love and not in anger. And we know children by nature are rebellious. I mean, that's the way the Word of God teaches that. But as parents, we need to be patient. And sometimes we even have to listen to our children's point of view. And so, as fathers, remember, don't instruct or command your children, you know, things that might be unreasonable or improper and things like that. No. I love what Arthur Barnes said in his commentary on this. He said, quote, the object of the apostle here is to show parents that their commands should be such that they should be easily obeyed, or such as are entirely reasonable and proper. If children are required to obey, it is but reasonable, and the commands of the parents should be such that they can be obeyed, or such that the child should not be discouraged in his attempt to obey, unquote. And so yes, it is the duty of children to obey, but again, it's the responsibility of the godly father to display that tender mercy, love, in instructing children. And this is why Paul says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath or to anger. But remember, not only in the negative, but now in the positive, the second part of the verse. And Paul uses the word but to show the contrast with this change. He says, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That is, bring them up or raise them up in the nurture of the Lord. Instruct your children in that which would cause them to know about God, to be acquainted with the Lord. The word nurture here means to train our children in the way of God. And we're told in Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And so the importance of training and educating our children in the way of God. With the scripture, not only the nurture, but again, in the admonition of the Lord. There's our word. The second letter in the word, Father A, stands for admonition. Now, the Greek word for admonition is nasousia, which basically means putting in mind. And that can be done by a warning and also by instruction. And by application, or the connotation is that put in the mind of your children, put in their mind things about God. That is, you teach your children about God, and we'll see that when we get to the next letter, T, in Father. But the importance of teaching your children these things, the Word of God. And this is also, again, the application in Deuteronomy, where Moses again writes, but I want you to turn with me, because there's an important thing there. Deuteronomy, the fifth book in the Bible. And in Deuteronomy 6, listen to these words of Moses that God instructed him to write. It says, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgment which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whether you go to possess, that thou mayest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that the days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that's a powerful that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy father hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Lord, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Here we go, verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them. There it is. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be frontless before thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gate. I mean, what instruction to the parents, to fathers, by God through Moses. Yes, again, being a responsible father, you know, commanded to bring up our children, what? In the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Again, you share with our children about the Word of God. You share about God, who He is, His love, His mercy, but also the warnings of God, okay? To train up our children in the ways of God, which is the grand purpose of even preparing our children for heaven. So yes, Father, you are responsible to your children in being faithful to their souls, nurturing them how? In the admonition of the Lord. Now this brings us to the third letter in the word Father, the T. The T stands for teacher. So being a responsible, godly father, you must what? Teach your children about God. I want to go back there to Deuteronomy 6, okay? There's just one verse I want to read. Verse 7. Deuteronomy 6, 7. Notice what Moses wrote, that God told him to write. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk to them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So here's command from God, that as fathers we have to want to teach our children the things of God. Not only just teach them, did you see what it said? Did you see what it said to do? And thou shalt teach them diligently. That is very powerful. You must not lose sight of that. You must do it diligently unto your children. Okay? And this takes, again, commitment, takes conviction. It's very important to instruct our children. You know, as soon as they're capable to understand the things of God, to teach them the importance of following God, to fear God, to serve God, to love God, to worship God, to bring them up again in the Word of the Lord, in the Scripture, to teach them the Bible diligently. And I know it follows this heart. I mean, we got to work Monday through Friday, sometimes on Saturday, and then we got home, we got to fix this, we got to fix that. I mean, it's so much time that time is taken away, but we must make time for our children. That means turning off the TV, turning off the phone, turning off the computer, putting away the iPhone, just to get even just to read with our children. I mean, it doesn't mean you have to preach to them like I do for 45 minutes or you know, have a sermon or no, but just even just if you read and just pray, that's fine. But to do something with the children, to instruct them in the Word of God. Having a conviction, no matter what, to spend time with your children in the Word of God. Turn with me to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. In Psalm 78, and I've preached this before, but I love the words that in Psalm 78, again, instructions to fathers, that again set forth the immensity and responsibility in teaching the Word of God to our children. Again, in verse 1, Psalm 78, Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ear to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children. That's powerful. Then again, takes conviction, you know. Remember, we said there in Joshua 24:15, that for me, my house, we will serve the Lord. He will never doubt that we will, with conviction. We will. That takes conviction. We will not hide them from the children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, His strength, His wonderful work that He had done. For He established His testimony in Jacob at a point in the long Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation should come, may make them known, may know them, even the children who should be born, who should abide and declare them to our children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Wow. That is powerful. All I can say to those verses is amen and amen. And so this is what we are to do as fathers. It says again, in verse 7, that they might set their hope on God. And so fathers, do not hide the word of God from your children. Make it a mission to feed your children the word of God. I mean, to be faithful to your children. Don't tell them to teach them who God is. Not only to your children, but your posterity. From this generation and the generations to come, do not hide these blessings from the Lord. And now, fathers, I also want you to know this. Because the great mission field in your life, fathers, is your children. Yes, it is good to go door knocking. You go door knocking in this area, whether it's to the lodge. It's good to go downtown, pack out trash and people. But your greatest mission field is at home. Do not neglect that. You know, in the early 1900s, there was a famous evangelist. You know, like Billy Graham for the early 1900s. But in the early 1900s, there was a famous evangelist. His name was Billy Sunday. And he went all over the world preaching. So listen to the saddest word, Billy Sunday, a great evangelist, said, quote, I've led thousands upon thousands to Christ, but as a father I failed my two sons because they are not saved, unquote. My. So we must not lose sight of the importance that our children, they are first and foremost our mission field. And so, Father, we must not hide the Word of God from our children. Let not be negligent. Make this resolution in your heart that you will tell your children and the next generation about God and the Scriptures. Again, in Deuteronomy 4, I'll read it to you. Moses, again, speaking to the nation of Israel, says, and what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgment, righteous, and this law which I said before you? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thou hast seen, and let them depart from their heart all the days of their life. But teach them to thy son and thy son's son. And how would you do this? We saw that also in Deuteronomy 6:7, to do it diligently. Joel 1 verse 3 says, tell your children of it, and let your children tell their children and their children to another generation. And so, fathers, one day you might be gray-headed just like me, but your mission continues. In Psalm 71:18, it says, now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and the power to everyone that is to come, which is the next generation of posterity. And so we see, again, in Ephesians 6:4, where Paul gave, remember that negative and positive instruction? You see the same thing here in Psalm 78, verse 4. Notice again the determination to communicate God's word and truth to the generation and the generation to come. Notice that the negative followed by the positive. He says in Psalm 78:4, we will not hide them from our children. I love that. That's a good negative. We will not hide him. And then the positive statement is, show him to the generation to come. And so these two statements warn us that when we fail to tell our children about the truth of God, we are basically hiding and concealing God's truth from our children, from our posterity, and from generations to come. And so again, the most important mission fathers can have is to their children at home. This is optional for fathers to communicate the Word of God to children. Okay? And if we don't do this, we will be in disobedience before God. And don't worry, you're not going to be charged in the civil court, in the civil courts of this land. Don't worry about that. Oh, no, no, no. But you will be charged in the high court of heaven one day. And so I warn you to have a settled resolution in your heart. Why? Because the letter T in father stands for what? Teacher. You are a teacher. You have to teach your children the Word of God and do it with conviction. And so that now brings us to the fourth letter in the word father, which is H. And H stands for hard worker. Now, this is applied physically and spiritually. Okay? Paul writes to Timothy, and he says to him in 1 Timothy 5:8, but if any provide not for his home and his own, and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. I mean, what hard words for a man who does not provide for his home. Now, in the physical realm, fathers, yes, they should provide for the family financially, okay? Provide for the wife of the children. As the verse says, you know, for those of his own house. This is the duty of all fathers, providing for your family. But providing for your family, however, means more than just putting food on the table. It also means putting manna from heaven in their hearts. Okay? Therefore, more than having a job and being a hard worker to provide for your family, there is also the need of being a hard worker spiritually. Providing for your family spiritually. The importance of taking your children to church, teaching them the Word of God, as we saw in the previous point. You know, in Psalm 28, I'll read it to you. Psalm 128, verses 1 and 2, it says, blessed is everyone that fears the Lord and walketh in his way. For thou shalt eat the labor, hard worker, thou shalt eat the labor of thine own hand. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. And last year, as a matter of fact, on Father's Day, I spoke on Psalm 128. But my point here, because of the word hard worker, it says you will eat of the fruit of your own labor. That is, being a spiritual hard worker, okay? You will see the fruit of your labor. And so the importance of being a spiritual hard worker means that you're not only going to labor for your family in the physical sense, but also in the spiritual sense. Again, in teaching your children the ways of God, regardless of, I mean, there might be circumstances and trials that come into your life, but the fruit of our labor will one day have its reward. I mean, we go through troubles and struggles, I mean, the sweat, the tears, and all the things that come about it, but it says, thou shalt eat the labor of thy hand. You will partake of the fruit of your hand. And maybe it's not in this life, in the next life to come. That is true. Okay? I love what Matthew Henry says here. Makes a powerful point. Matthew Henry says, quote, it shall be well with thee while thou livest. It shall be better with thee when thou diest. It shall be best of all with thee in eternity. Unquote. I love that.
Yes.
I mean, you cannot go wrong in laboring in the spiritual sense, in laboring to bear fruit with your children. You will have a payday someday. And so, fathers, we must be patient, okay, to see that fruit. Because Psalm 128:2 shows that hard work is needed to be fruitful. And it doesn't come overnight. I mean, when a farmer plants the seeds, I mean, he doesn't go out the next morning and pull out the crops. No, it takes time. It takes time. It takes perseverance. It takes patience. And sometimes it seems easier to quit than to continue. But we must persevere if we are to see fruit. Again, it takes that energy, that effort. Take much sacrifice. Because again, God says so loud and so clearly in Psalm 128:2, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine own hand. And the problem with most fathers is that they don't want to work patiently for this blessing. And sometimes they get upset and they give up. But fathers, I remind you, this is very important to understand. Fathers, I remind you, as Christ is our representative in the blessed covenant, okay? In the blessed everlasting covenant with God, then you have Adam, who is the representative of the covenant of works. But fathers, you are the spiritual representative of your children before God. And don't ever forget that. You are the spiritual representative of God in your home. So be patient in laboring in your home. We have the promise. God says you'll see fruit. It might not be in your time, but the promise is we will see fruit if we are diligently and do the things that we ought to do. Now, if we compromise and don't do it, then how do you expect fruit? I mean, how is the farmer going to expect fruit if he just sits at the barn, you know, playing cards or, you know, doing all kinds of other things, saying, oh, you know, it'll grow one day, it'll grow one day. Oh, no. He won't have any fruit. So it just takes work. Okay? The point is, be patient. Spurgeon, Charles Spurgeon here, he says, quote, without God, it would be vain to labor. But when we are laborers together with God, a promise is set before us. The promise is that our labor shall be fruitful, and he who performs it shall himself enjoy the recompense of it. Unquote. Amen and amen. You know, in the very first words to Adam and Eve, when they were created, the first two people created were Adam and Eve. It says in Genesis 1:22, and God blessed them and saying, be fruitful and multiply. Okay? And when he said to be fruitful, of course it means to have children and multiply the earth. But then there is also a spiritual application of being fruitful in having a godly testimony. Because Colossians 1:10 says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So we are to be fruitful in every good work, which includes the work of a godly father. And so fathers, let us walk worthy, pleasing our heavenly Father, doing what we must do as fathers, that we might be bearing fruit, or that we might bear fruit in every good work. Now, again, fearing God, walking with God, you will bear fruit. And I say this, there's nothing more joyful than to see fruit of your own hands, to see your own children walking the way of God. Remember the words in 2 John 1:4? I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. Therefore, seek to be a spiritual hard worker, because at some point in your life, you will reap what you have spiritually sown. And therefore, the next letter in the word Father is the letter E. And the letter E is for entreats. Okay? And by entreat, I mean prayer. Being in prayer for your children. In other words, fathers, you need to pray for your children. Fathers, you need to stand in the gap for your children. You know, I'm reminded again of Abraham. You know, Abraham was a prayerful man. And in Genesis 18, Abraham stood in the gap for the wicked city of Sodom. God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But in Genesis 18, it says, excuse me, and the man turned their faces from thence toward Sodom. And Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said unto God, will thou destroy the righteous of the wicked? My point is, Abraham, being a godly man, pray for those wicked people as he stood in the gap before them. In other words, Abraham had a, lack of a better term, had a spiritual discourse with God. Abraham talked and prayed to God. In other words, he was an intercessor for Sodom and Gomorrah. He stood in the gap and prayed. So my point is, as godly fathers, we must also them to God, because we have the same privilege in being intercessors for our children. That is, to stand in the gap for our children, to pray for our children, to pray to God for our children. And so I ask this question, Father, when the last time you had a spiritual discourse with God or a dialogue with God and you prayed for your children? I mean, Father, that you stood in the gap for your children. May God grace you to stand in the gap for your children. I shared the following before, but I'm going to share it again. The Lord gave me this verse many years ago when my kids were very little. And I remember reading this verse, and God was like this. I'm going to tell you, my heart just so burned within me, and I knew God was speaking to my heart. I didn't hear an audible voice. People say, God, no, I'm not an audible voice. But when God speaks to your soul, He'll quicken it to your heart. And I'll never forget when He quickened this to my heart. And I've had this since then, and I still pray for my children. I have one saved son, but I have two lost daughters. But nonetheless, Lamentations 2:19 says, arise, cry out in the night, in the beginning of the watches, pour out thine heart like water before the face of the Lord, lift up thy hand toward Him for the life of thy young children. In other words, we must stand in the gap for our children. Father, we must pour out our hearts before the face of the Lord for our children. We must be constantly reminded of that spiritual labor and honor that we have as coming before God as fathers, praying for our children. Okay? Praying that God would do something. Praying for our children, praying for our wife, our family, for the church, our country, and so forth. But many years ago, God also gave me another verse for my children. I can't speak for you, I speak for myself. But God has given me in my heart, and I still hold on and pray. I repeat in Isaiah 44. It says, verses 1 through 6, did not hear of Jacob, my servant, in Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord, and made thee, and formed thee from the womb, which helped thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and Jerusalem, who have chosen. And I know these are words, promises to Israel. Okay, I understand that. It says, I will pour out water upon him that is thirsty, and flood upon dry ground. Here is my promise from God. I will pour out my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. Again, I can't tell you what God did to me when I read that in my heart, and I nearly get in my knees. I said, yes, Lord, I've been praying, still praying that for my children. Okay? Praying. I have two lost children, six lost grandchildren, and I pray that God will pour out His Spirit upon my seed, my posterity, and their offspring. And continue to pray that one day, yes, as we said earlier, we shall see the fruit of our labor. Another word for God gave me, yes. I mean, if you read the Bible, God will give you something.
Right.
But if you never read it, you know, God didn't give me anything. Why do you give me the Bible? You read the scriptures, God will give you something. I mean, this time, I've read a chapter maybe 10, 100, 1,000 times, and then the 1,000th and first time, you know, and then something comes out, oh, I never seen that before. That's how God does. Well, in Psalm 102, again, it says, I said, oh my God, take me not in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. Of old thou hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hand. They perish, but they shall endure, talking about the earth. And all them that wax old like his garment, and vested thou to change them, thou shalt be changed. Then he speaks about God. Thou art the same, and thy years have no end. Verse 28, again, the verse that God gave me. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established forever. Thank you, Lord. Yes. And because God is an all-powerful God, I believe unto the day I die, I believe that God is able to perform and fulfill what He has promised my heart. That's me. I can't answer you, that's me. You know, I love what it says in Ephesians 3:20. It says, now to Him that is able to do exceedingly abundance of all that you have to think according to the power that worketh in us. And so, dear Father, invest everything you have in your family, in your wife, in your children, your church. Be committed to God. Be the father He wants you to be. Okay? Be the father that God wants you to be. Father, believe that God and that He will fulfill what He has given us and promised us. And one day, again, you will see the fruit of your labor for His glory. And Father, make sure above anything that you stand in the gap for your children. Father, entreat. Pray for your children. Pray and continue to pray for your children. And then we come to the last letter of the word, Father, R. And that stands for responsibility. Responsibility. Therefore, the title of my message this morning, Being a Responsible Godly Father. Again, from Proverbs. That children are the crown of an old man, and the glory of the father are there. The glory of the children should be by the father. Therefore, being a responsible father means F, being a faithful father. A, admonishing father. T, a teaching father. H, a hardworking father. E, an intriguing father. And now R, a responsible father. I mean, what a privilege and honor to be a responsible father. I mean, what a blessing to be used by the Lord for our children. I mean, what a privilege to have an impact upon your children and your family. Amazing. I mean, God used Abraham to impact the world, but also to impact his family. And so God has called us to make an impact to the world, sharing the gospel, but also you must do it with your wife and with your children. And if you take more adventures in having an impact for the world, I think in the neglected family, I think you've done hurt yourself a lot, and you're basically a hypocrite, really, when you think about it. Remember, our mission is at home first. Never forget that. And so it's important to have an impact on our family. And so may God grant us to be involved in the life of our children. Father, what a blessing to be a responsible father and be a spiritual father also. Not that a physical father to our children, call them daddy, but a spiritual father in teaching them and counseling them in the Word of God. Okay? Being also responsible in our walk before our children, having a holy consecration before God, having a testimony to leave the children a legacy. Okay? To be a testimony to our children. I mean, you just can't be a Christian at church and then act like the devil at home the rest of the week. No, no, no. Your children will see your hypocrisy.
Right.
I mean, what you need is a holy and needful responsibility to display before our children and our spouses. And so, it speaks not only of things that we say, but how we also walk. It has to do both with our walk and our talk. Don't ever lose sight of that. Most children will remember not so much what you say, Father, but what you do.
Right.
And how you act. One of our puts it real simple. He says, quote, what you do speaks so loud that I cannot hear what you say. Unquote. I love that. Yes. You know, one of the verses we love to sing in our church is Psalm 27:4. That starts to bring this to an end. He says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after that. I mean, dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of the Lord, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to what? And to inquire at his temple. And so, Father, do your children see this conviction? Do they see this character in you? Do they see their father, their daddy at church, whether it's Sunday morning, Sunday, you know, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, anytime the doors were open? I know my daddy, he was at church. He was at church. Your children will remember your faithfulness to God's house. Okay? And so, the importance of being responsible, godly fathers. And so, let us make sure that we have that spiritual commitment also to be involved in our family all the way to the end, with our wives, with our children, so they can see it. Okay? And again, if we invest all this, we might not see the fruit. Okay? In this life. But guess what? We'll see the fruit at one point. Oh yes, I believe that wholeheartedly. There'll be a harvest. It'll be all for the glory of His name. In other words, how we teach our children in the Word of God, everything we've done for them, you know, bringing them to church, teaching them, showing all this, you know, all of that is not going to end when we die, but I believe we'll continue. It will bear fruit. We might not see it, but I believe because God is faithful, He will see it to the end. You know, I love the words in Revelation 14. It says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God in the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write unto me, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. And henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest in their labor, and their work do follow them. In other words, even after we die, our work will follow them. If we are a responsible, godly father, our work will follow us.
Amen.
This is the importance of being faithful. And so your responsibility as a godly father, and your commitment and your loyalty to your family will continue to bear fruit even after we have departed from this world. Like I said, we might not see it in our lifetime, but it will be reaped even after we die. But it takes that conviction to be dedicated and committed faithfully to persevere in the things of God. And so, Father, may God give you that holy conviction as it is founded again by Joshua 24:15. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That is conviction, my dear ones. May God burn that in our hearts. And so may God help us to be responsible, godly fathers. For He has called us to be fathers. F, faithful fathers. A, admonishing fathers. T, teaching fathers. H, hardworking fathers. E, entreating fathers. And R, responsible fathers. Seek to do these things as a testimony to your wife and to your children, that God would cause you to bear fruit from that perspective. And God asked you to teach you this word this morning. I'd like to end with a poem that I wrote years ago, but I'd like to show it again this morning. And I took it from Joshua 24:15, that for me and my house will serve the Lord. As God's creation began to unfold, be fruitful and multiply, they were told. Adam would become the first father, and Eve would become the first mother. Little did Adam realize the awful responsibility regarding a father's duty and accountability. Called by God to be godly fathers and leaders, teach our children to be Bible readers. Fathers, as you seek to do that which is right, do not neglect God's instruction or take it light. Help us, God, to train our children in your way so that it might be kept in their heart all the day. Children are heritage of the Lord. We must instruct them in God's word. Nurture them in the Lord's admonition. As fathers, we must have this conviction. When they arise in the morning, or when they lay down in the evening, when they sit down and walk by the way, we must do this for them every day. The importance of Bible family devotion, by God's grace, we must set this in motion. We must not neglect this responsibility and look to God in faith for this ability. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, we point them to the Lord as much as we can. Happy is the man that has his quiver full, teaching our children that God has rule. His wife shall be fruitful, lying by his side, as husband and wife they confide in what God in their lives has done, giving us children as the family has begun. Our prayer is that the next generation may be established on a spiritual foundation to carry the torch with a burning affection, for this is our hope and expectation. We trust our God to fulfill our desire and burn in our children a holy fire that will continue for many years to come and never forget where God brought them from. Oh God, keep us spiritual so that we can watch and observe and say, as for me and my house, the Lord you will serve. So Father, for all that you have done and seek to do, we wish you today that God would bless you with a glorious and happy Father's Day.
Amen.
Let's pray. Oh Heavenly Father, we thank you again this morning. We thank you for you being our faithful Father. And help us teach us to be a faithful Father to our own children and our family. Oh Lord, speak to our hearts. We thank you again of your love toward us and your grace. And tell and teach us, Lord, to do the same as our children. Help us to be the Father you have called us to be. And so, Lord, help us to raise our children in that nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so we pray, oh Lord, that you would cause this to be in our hearts. That you would help us to walk in that path of righteousness for your name's sake. And so thank you again for blessing us with your word this morning. And again, we ask for all this in the most blessed and holy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for being with us as a means of faith. God bless.